The Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 302. If unto Jesus thou art bound, a crowd about him will be found, attending day and night. A worldly crowd to din thy ears, and crowds of unbelieving fears to hide him from thy sight. 302.
Yeah. Pleased to bless the reading of his words to the profit of our souls this evening. We'll read two chapters, and the first is in the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, and chapter 2. The second epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Thessalonians, and reading chapter 2. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether they by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now we'll turn to the first epistle of Peter and read the fourth chapter. the first epistle of Peter and read chapter 4. Forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let him that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. God instruct us from his holy word, and help us to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Most blessed and eternal Lord God, do help us to come unto thee in prayer tonight. Gracious God, we believe that the all-seeing eye of God looks into our heart and sees us through and through. Lord, we stand before our God exactly as we are. Lord, we realize we cannot pretend to be what we're not. And we pray, Lord, tonight, as we're here before our God, that our hearts may be open to receive thy word. And Lord, we realize that only the Almighty God knows that which will be suitable and good for us. And so we do pray, Lord, thou wilt remember us for good tonight. Lord, do come and instruct us. Do come and guide and direct us. Do come, Lord, and comfort us. Do come, Lord, and correct us. Lord, whatever is needful in our spiritual life, we pray as we've come here tonight to hear what God the Lord will speak to us. May we receive, Lord, some word from our God. Lord, look upon us then. In mercy we pray. Oh Lord, how we need thy Spirit to come upon us. To come, Lord, and possess our minds and to possess our thoughts. And to grant that we may be found indeed as John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And therefore, Lord, not with a worldly spirit, but Lord, with a godly spirit. Lord, seeking for those eternal blessings which shall do us real good. And so, Lord, we come tonight pleading that thou will look upon us. Lord, how we realize we are so undeserving of any favor. But Lord, we look to thee as that great, that kind, that merciful, that compassionate Lord God that will indeed remember us. Oh Lord, may it be very personal, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember each one of us tonight. And come, Lord, and visit our souls with thy salvation. Lord, help us to realize how quickly life is vaporizing before our eyes. And Lord, the day fast approaches when all of us will have passed out of time into eternity. And gracious God, we pray that we may therefore have that wonderful evidence that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world in order to deliver our soul from the wrath to come. Grant, Lord, tonight there may be a personal application of the Word of God to our souls. Lord, if we should be wandering aimlessly through this world, Lord, do come. And Lord, bring us to realize our true state before a holy God. Give us, Lord, that grace to seek for mercy. We pray then, Lord, that none of us may be found left out of the secret, that secret of the Lord which is with them that fear thee. Lord, that blessed secret given to thy people of that knowledge of eternal life. Give us, Lord, to know that we have passed from that scene of darkness into the glorious light of the everlasting gospel. And Lord, may we truly be able to come, bow down and worship, and greatly rejoice in the glorious work of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, indeed, lead us into all truth as it is in Jesus. Lord, Leave not our souls destitute, nor we pray we may not come and go without any benefit for our souls. Nor let us never be content with just a formal worship, but Lord, grant we may ever be on the stretch, thou wilt visit our souls with thy salvation. Lord, look upon us then tonight. We're thankful, Lord, for the provision that we have of a convenient place to gather together in. We give thanks, Lord, for the freedom we have of worship. Thankful, Lord, there are other like-minded people that we can gather with. But Lord, above all these things, we pray that thou wilt grant us by living faith to view the Saviour tonight, suffering on Calvary's cross, so that all our sins should be ever washed away. O Lord, do deliver us from trivialities. Deliver us from mere formalities. O Lord, we find ourselves living in a lukewarm condition, in a world of lukewarm condition. Gracious God, we pray, we may know the blessed movement of thy Holy Spirit. So, Lord, that thy people may be stirred up in the things of God. Lord, not found settling down. As the word tells us, settle on our lees, taking it easy. Lord, may we be found on the stretch after our God. Lord, have mercy upon us. We earnestly pray. Lord, do not deal with us as our sins deserve. Lord, so often we find ourselves ashamed of our thoughts. Sometimes, perhaps, ashamed of our motives. Perhaps even, Lord, ashamed of the words we say, the deeds we do. Oh, Lord, look upon us then in love and mercy, and grant that we may be truly concerned about the health of our souls. Oh, we pray, Lord, to be healthy in our souls. Lord, to be found coveting the best gifts. Lord, those gifts of knowing thyself as our great and glorious God, our Saviour, our Master, and indeed our friend. Lord, come, we pray then tonight, and do us good. We're thankful, Lord, that we do have the Word of God to read and the wonderful words it contains. Lord, may it be food to our souls. Lord, let us not be found rejecting the Word of God, casting it aside. But Lord, help us to receive thy word into our hearts. And Lord, may it be a blessing to us. Lord, a true blessing. Lord, be with us then, day by day as we journey through life. And grant us, Lord, that desire of the Apostle Paul when he came and prayed that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death. Lord, we realize, or at least some of us realize, perhaps in a small way, how important and how precious and how real such desires are. Lord, we know such a prayer does not emanate from our flesh. But Lord, we'd be grateful if we receive that true desire from our heart. Lord, that which thou hast given us, so that we might know what it is to be blessed with communion and union with our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, the things of this world may grow strangely dim, and the things of eternity become ever brighter. And so, Lord, may there be that difference between those two endured ever a greater separation. And so, Lord, we pray that would be gracious to us. We pray, Lord, for this church. Lord, encourage them, bless them, guide them, and direct them. Lord, thou knowest all things they may be concerned about. And we pray, Lord, that thou would make all thy goodness to pass before them in the way. Lord, grant them that gracious discernment to do that which is right, that which is in accordance with thy will, and that which is in accordance which will bring honour and glory to thy great and holy name. O Lord, grant them each grace to be found seeking the lowest place. Grant them each grace, Lord, to be found serving one another in love and union. We pray, Lord, there may not be any root of bitterness springing up to trouble them. We know, Lord, how eager the devil is to separate the brethren. We pray, Lord, he may be kept far away, and they may dwell together in love and unity, seeking each other's spiritual welfare. And then, Lord, we pray for the congregation, each one, Lord. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt work powerfully in their souls. O Lord, we think of those words, they that honour me, I will honour, and those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Lord, we pray there may be none here that may despise thee. Lord, may there be many here who through love to thyself desire to honour thee. So, Lord, that this place may be a place of true spiritual prosperity, a place, Lord, where thy honour dwelleth, a place, Lord, where thy great name is honoured and glorified. O Lord, keep Satan far away. We know, Lord, how keen he is to come in and cause havoc if he could. And we pray, Lord, they may realise, Lord, if he's prowling around. O Lord, we pray there may not be those little foxes which creep in that spoil the vines. Lord, then do be gracious to thy people here. We're thankful, Lord, for thy goodness and mercy which thou hast granted to them in passing before them. Thus far, Lord, many blessings they've enjoyed. But, Lord, we pray that we'll come and do great things. O Lord, grant an outpouring of thy Holy Spirit in this place. So, Lord, there may not be room to contain it. Grant, Lord, there may be true, earnest prayer for such a blessing. Lord, we know we have a God who is able to do such things. Lord, we have many occasions recorded in the Word of God when wonderful things occurred. And Lord, we believe we still come. Blessed be God to that same God, even at this time. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless this people and, Lord, grant them their soul's desire. Lord, hear their prayers. May they be prevailing prayers. May their prayers enter in to the holy place. And, Lord, may they be accepted in the Beloved. Thou knowest their need, Lord, as a flock here, Lord, an increasing flock. We pray, Lord, thou wilt grant to them, if it could be thy will, a pastor after thy own heart. Lord, one whom thou wilt bring amongst them, one whom thou wilt, whose ministry thou wilt greatly bless, one who may come and care for them as an under-shepherd and be a true blessing. Lord, hear us then when we pray for these things. Indeed, Lord, we pray for the Church of God. We pray, Lord, for the churches in our nation. Lord, some we know, and some, Lord, are very low numerically. Some, Lord, face closure in the future, not too distant, unless, Lord, let us arise and work powerfully. But, Lord, we come to a God who we know can do great things. And we pray, Lord, that the church of God may be truly moved by thy Spirit to pray earnestly for spiritual prosperity. Lord, we think of those we read of from time to time who were so blessed with that spirit of prayer that they prayed all night. Lord, we think of Jacob of old. He prayed all night. And Lord, his desire was, Lord, he would not let thee go, except that it's blessing. Oh Lord, we pray that even in our age, there may yet be some true wrestling prayer. Lord, how little we know of these things today. Indeed, Lord, we find how hard often prayer is. What a struggle, Lord, when we find the devil beside us. But Lord, we pray that we indict that true and prevailing prayer. So yet again they will come and bless the churches. Lord, the work is thine. And Lord, we know that we are to pray to thee for these things. But Lord, let the church not be lukewarm. Let them not be idle, Lord. Let them not be careless. But Lord, let them be prayerful about these things. And do then, Lord, hear. And Lord, when thou hearest, oh Lord, do grant the blessing. And so, Lord, now we've gathered here on this Lord's Day evening. Lord, we've seen the sun shine today on the earth, and we're thankful for it. But Lord, we need the sun of righteousness to shine into our hearts tonight. Lord, thou hast heard our prayers today for national blessing. Do grant it if thy holy will. Lord, we are reminded of that case of the bakery in Ireland, the Ashes. This case, Lord, we believe comes up very soon before the courts. Lord, we're thankful for the evidence and the testimony that that family has been able to give. And we pray, Lord, that will thus appear for them. Grant, Lord, a gracious and wonderful deliverance so that thy name may be honoured and glorified. Lord, we know that it is their desire. Lord, it's our desire. And Lord, do hear us then when we pray for these things. And now, Lord, come. Come and meet with us. Come and dwell with us. Come and bless us. We ask it all for the forgiveness of every sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 218. Mercy is welcome news indeed to those that guilty stand. Wretches that feel what help they need will bless the helping hand. 218.
Thank you.
God to bless us together this evening as we consider his word. Let's turn to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 4, and we'll read the last three verses, verses 17, 18 and 19. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 4, and reading verses 17, 18 and 19. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. As we read the Word of God, one thing I'm sure is clear: if we read God's word with spiritual eyes, and that is to realize that the Church of God, as they travel through this world, will be found suffering. It is indeed the suffering Church of God. This world, this earth, is not the rest of the people of God. The people of God are on pilgrimage. They are aliens, they're strangers in a strange land. And it would be a blessing if you and I have the evidence of God's hand upon us to demonstrate that that is so. We may have to say, the flesh dislikes the way, but faith approves it well. And why does faith approve it well? Because we can trace out our spiritual life in accordance with the Word of God. And therefore be encouraged that we are not out of the secret, but we are very much in the secret. The devil would say, no, you can't be in the secret. There's too many trials and temptations and difficulties in your life. You can't be in the secret. But my friends, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear God. And those who fear God will be found walking in accordance with the testimony of the Word of God. The examples of those recorded in Scripture. And if we look through Scripture, we find this is a very true picture. The suffering Church of God. God's people are not allowed to settle down in this world. You know, we're foolish enough to expect, well, if I get through this little problem, or get through this big problem, it'll be easier. Well, if we're foolish enough to think that, we don't really understand the way that the Lord leads. He leads us in that way so that we become less desirous of the things of the world and more desirous of heavenly blessings. Because the Spirit of God will direct us that the only true peace, the only true blessing, is to be found in the knowledge of Christ. And therefore, may such a desire be found in our hearts that in measure we may be able to say with the hymn writer, to know my Jesus crucified, by far excels all things beside. Now that's not the desire of a worldly man. You might say, well, I wish I could say that. Well, if you truly wish you could say that, it surely is the evidence of life within. Now, Peter was a man of God. Peter knew temptation. Peter knew how easy it was to fall, didn't he? Peter relied on his own strength, how it let him down. Remember, there he spoke to the Lord and said he would never deny the Saviour. And in fact, he would die with him, die for him. Just a few hours later, denying the Lord with oaths and curses. So my friends, let us never assume that we can be strong in ourselves. Never think that we by ourselves can resist the devil. Never think that we can speak lightly of temptation. Let us realize the power of the devil. Well, here we have these words that the apostle addresses us, for the time is come that judgment, and we can think of that word judgment as condemnation. Perhaps it's easier for us to appreciate. The time has come that condemnation must begin at the house of God. That means to begin at the church of God. That means to begin with the people of God. And it's a good thing when the Spirit of God comes into our hearts and condemns us. But there are many things perhaps that we are not doing, and perhaps many things that we are doing that we should not be doing. And it's a great blessing when God comes and, as it were, opens up our heart, our innermost being, in measure, so we have some small sight of ourselves as God sees us. I believe one of the greatest evidences of a spiritual growth in grace is to view ourselves as ever greater sinners in God's sight, and never to conclude that we're not a very bad sinner. If you conclude you're not a very bad sinner, then my friend, you have to doubt your whole evidence of spiritual life. Well, the time is come. Has the time come in your life? Has it come in my life? The time has come that condemnation has come upon us. We may have thought we were quite good Christians. We may have thought we were setting really quite a good example. We expected people to praise us for our wonderful walk in the Christian life. But when the Lord comes and visits our souls, we will then see things that we never observed before. We never realized there were so many sins within us. We never realized our thoughts were so bad, so evil. We saw so much lust, so much pride, so much covetousness. We had to agree with the Apostle Paul when he said, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, and sin is mixed with all we do. Nothing pure in and of ourselves. Now then, when the Spirit of God brings us then to that condition, and bless God if it's occurred in our life like this, the time is come. If it has come in our lives, the judgment must begin with the house of God, which God has begun to show you and to show me our sinful nature, our sinful state before a holy God, what will it do? I believe it will produce a cry. A cry like this: can ever God dwell here? And you won't settle down at ease and in comfort. You'll be crying to God, as David did, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." See, we may have thought we've had a right spirit, but when God shines into our heart, we'll realize that that which we thought was a right spirit had so much sin mixed with it. So we can't claim to be anything good ourselves. And so then, what do? We have to look out of ourselves. We have to look then to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to look that He will come and have compassion upon us. And He will come and lift us up. We may feel to be right down in the earth, earthy. What a blessing when the Lord comes where His people are. He knows, you see, where we are. He knows where you are tonight in your spiritual experience. No one else knows. The person next to you doesn't know. The husband and the wife don't know. The children and the parents don't know. But God knows. God knows where we are tonight in our spiritual experience. What a blessing it is if therefore between your soul and God you have the evidence that He's dealing with you. He's touching things perhaps. You didn't want to be touched. You want to be left untouched. But you see, God comes and He puts His finger on things and they're touched. We realize then, perhaps it's those things which are separated between us and our God. We find we need the mercy of God. We need the favor of God. The time has come. The judgment must begin at the house of God. Well, the apostle was able to speak in these terms: "Beloved, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." My friends, these things are not strange. These things are the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's the things of the Holy Spirit that brings us to this situation, that we then realize the time has come, that condemnation has come upon us. And the Lord may bring a condition like this: a fiery trial. And the inference is that something which is fiery is painful to bear. It's not easy. But remember this: the Lord gives more grace. He gives more grace. Paul the Apostle, he had a fiery trial, didn't he? We're not told what it was. But he asked the Lord that he might be delivered from it 3 times. And what did the Lord say? "My grace is sufficient for thee." What did Paul possess? He possessed that grace of God which enabled him to still bear this thorn in the flesh which God had given to him. And God does give thorns in the flesh today. They're different to each one. And it may be like this, a fiery trial. And you wish you could get rid of it. And you pray to God it might disappear. And yet it remains. Well, remember the Apostle Paul. Man blessed of God. But God gave him grace to continue. Grace to continue. And so Peter's able to address us and say, beloved, or think it not strange. Don't think you're the only person that's having to face such a fiery trial. Sometimes we get a bit sorry for ourselves, don't we? And we think, well, no one else has to suffer like I do. And that's why we have such a gracious word here. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. You won't just stand on one side, as it were. It'll enter right into us. And it will try us. And by trying, it means tested. It means perhaps our religion is put into the refining pot and heated. And what do we lose? Do we lose the grace of God? Do we lose God's work? Not at all. What do we lose? All our own rubbish. All the things that we thought perhaps emanated from God. Well, bless God. He comes and burns up the rubbish. So that all that is left is that pure gold. The true grace of God. The true favour of God. And therefore we are not to think it's as though some strange thing is happening to us. It's not strange. It's God's purpose. It's God's will. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. What a mercy it is that God comes like that. We're not left. Time has come to refine our soul. A time to bring us out of a lukewarm condition. A time to revive our spirits. You know, we pray for blessing, don't we? That's right. We pray for revival, don't we? That's right. We often don't realise how these things come to fruition. They come in God's way. In order to bring them about, our souls, the souls of the Church of God, need refining. They need preparation for such a time as blessing. So if we pray for these things, don't be surprised if you enter into a situation like this. But what does the apostle say? Does he complain? He tells us this. But rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice because I'm going through this fiery trial, which I wish I could get rid of. But rejoice, says the apostle, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Now, there's the secret. And the secret is union with Christ. And my friends, there will not be union unless there's these trials, unless there's these sufferings, because we won't enter into it. Well, as it were, be found outside the secret. But God comes and deals with his children, remember this, in love to their souls. What a mercy when God comes and deals with us in that way so that we can as the Lord enables us to sit back, as it were, and meditate on the dealings of God with our soul. And it is that we're then able to understand, at least in some measure, what Peter said. And remember, Peter could voice these things from a very personal experience. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. That's what the Apostle Paul desired, didn't he? We mentioned it in prayer, didn't he? Didn't we? In the third chapter in Philippians, you can read his desire of spiritual prosperity. My friends, how very, very different it is to what the world would say, and what perhaps you and I would say in a lukewarm condition. But bless God, if we understand. Bless God if we've had the experience. My friends, we do have experiences, as it were, to drive us to Christ. You see, we wouldn't select this way ourselves, because our flesh likes a comfortable path. Our flesh doesn't want any trials. It doesn't want any sufferings. But don't forget what the Lord, what Paul said to his son Timothy. If we suffer with him, we should also reign with him. Again, come back to the situation. We're only passing through this world. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And that city is where Christ is. Now, my friends, just think of this. There are no strangers to Christ in glory. If you and I don't know something of this fellowship with Christ on this earth, then we can question whether we should be found in glory. Because there we shall see and be found with eternally that blessed man, that blessed God, who condescended to redeem our soul. And therefore, as we pass through this world, it will be to enjoy. You might say, well, how can you possibly use a word like that? Because it's the evidence of eternal life. Enjoy such union with Christ. Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. It's a strong word, isn't it? Exceeding joy. That's the blessing of those who are found in this path. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. I think the time has come when the Lord is dealing with our souls in this way. Is, remember, it's in love. Everything that God does for his people and to his people is in love. In love to our souls. Yea, he's loved us with an everlasting love. And therefore, with loving kindness, he's drawn us to himself. And you see, he's drawn us to himself when we walk this path. And the Lord brings us into these times of condemnation. We view ourselves under God's searchlight. And the Lord then blesses us with this communion with himself. And Peter goes on. It's worth just going on for a few moments on this line. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. You know, perhaps there's not reproachment today for the name of Christ. because many people hide their religion. They hide what they are. And you children and young people, when you're at school, when you're at university or college, or when you go out to work, never be ashamed of your religion. Never be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ as that great and glorious Saviour. Never pretend you perhaps didn't hear a question put to you. Never walk away from a confrontation. Remember, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. You might feel unhappy, but you should be happy. Because again, there's a wonderful evidence that God is working in your soul. And this is the great thing, isn't it? This is the great need we have. The evidence of God's work in our soul. Everything else, you see, really is quite insignificant. Because all the things of this world, the things that we work for, it's right to work and it's right to study. But my friends, let's put right things first. Let's put the things of God first. Put the things of the earth second. And just one little aside here, you know, it's very tempting in this pressurized world in which we live, with so many things to list before us, things to do, to put aside the things of God. It's very easy. My friends, often you think of it and you get up in the morning, perhaps you're late for school or late for work, and you get up and you rush out of bed and you get dressed and tear out of the house. Well, what time have you given to God? Has God had the priority? Have you put first things first? You see, we need to start every day in a right way. To start every day in a right way is to start the day with God. Between your soul and God. Your soul. Doesn't matter how young you are, you can still pray to God. Doesn't matter how old you are, you can still pray to God. My friends, how easy it is to make excuses. But you will never regret giving your prime time to God. So here we have this gracious words then. If ye be reproached in the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Oh, do you glory in the Saviour? Oh, do you love to hear the Saviour spoken of? Can you say with the hymn writer, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear? Are you attracted by the name of Jesus? When you hear his name mentioned rightly, does it draw you? Yes, and to think then, this great and blessed God has looked upon you in love and mercy, and is therefore dealing with you like this, in love to your souls. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. What a blessing it is that God doesn't leave his people. He says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Poor, puny man. Don't fear men. Fear God. We're told the fear of man bringeth a snare. So it does. Only fear God. And so here we have this reproach the name of Christ. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. And, you know, we should note things like this. A busybody in other men's matters. People sometimes get so involved in what doesn't really concern them at all. Busybody in other men's matters. Does it bring you nearer to Christ? That's the question, isn't it? That's the question. You know, in all things that we do, all things that we do, we should examine it with that question: does it bring me nearer to Christ? Well, be sure of this: busybody in other matters, in other men's matters, won't. Avoid it. Turn away from it. Won't do you any good. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. The inference there is, we shall suffer as Christians. We have it today, don't we? We see many parts of the world, Christians suffering greatly. Christians suffering greatly. Not an easy path, is it? We mentioned, didn't we, in prayer, the Ashers in Ireland. You know what they've suffered. And yet, what grace they've received to stand firm for the truth of God, not counting the cost. It's a blessing, isn't it? To not count the cost, and so to be found like this, suffering as a Christian. Well, many, of course, today in Syria and other places are suffering greatly. They've had to give up everything. Leave everything for the name of Christ. Be sure of this. Your religion will cost you something. Cost you something in your pocket, perhaps. I don't want to boast myself of anything at all, please. But in my business life, and I've travelled abroad a lot, as some of you may know, I've always avoided travelling on Sundays. And that's often been costly financially. But I bless God for the answer of a good conscience. So, don't expect your Christianity to not be without cost, because it will be. But in that situation, just compare it with the cost of your salvation. Just compare it with the cost of your salvation. Just think of that. Your salvation cost the Lord Jesus Christ his life. What a death it was. Not just a passing away, an excruciating death. The most painful death anybody could have to pass through. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he did it willingly to deliver our souls from eternal damnation. Do we not exclaim tonight, what a Saviour. What a gracious Saviour I've got, who was so willing to deliver my soul. And therefore, look at these words. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So then, you see, we come down to these words. For the time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. Just very briefly, we read that chapter in the second of Thessalonians, and the second chapter really for this verse, in the 12th verse, which reads, or the 11th, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, we need to be careful and examine ourselves. My friends, if we have pleasure in unrighteousness, believe you me, the devil will try and appoint you that way, to be involved in unrighteous things that perhaps you might think are pleasing to the flesh. They might be sweet to the taste, but they'll be bitter to you. The pleasures in unrighteousness. And who is that addressed to? Those that believed not the truth. Now, these words that Peter's able to bring before us are words of truth. And my friends, what a blessing it is that God has ordained that we should have before us a very clear picture of what God's people should expect as they journey through life. It's the complete opposite to what the devil would have you believe. It's the complete opposite to what the atheists and secularists and humanists in this world today would have you believe. But my friend, this is the path that leads to glory. This is the path that leads to eternal happiness. This is the path that leads to union with Christ in this life and in the world to come. And so as we read such a word as this, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. We won't go any further tonight, but you can see how relevant it is to think that if the time has come in our lives when God has perhaps condemned us, it's a wonderful blessing to have the Lord come and show us the errors of our ways. And remember, he does it in love. And as he shows us and condemns us, he then shows us himself and shows what he has done to redeem our soul and that view then puts everything right. All the things which we may have envisaged appear to be against us. Just like Jacob, when his sons came back and told him the situation with Joseph in Egypt. All these things are against me. Not at all. They were all working together for good. My friends, these things, you may think, well, this fiery trial, this difficulty, these sufferings. No, my friends, they're not against you. They're all working together for good to bring you nearer to Christ and farther away from this world and to prepare you for that glorious kingdom of glory, to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amount to £715, and for our needy cases fund on Monday to £835, both of which we're truly thankful for. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting followed by a church meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field. Mr. Pont is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day. And there will be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 1063. Nothing know we of the season, when the world shall pass away, but we know the saints have reason to expect a glorious day, when the Saviour will return and his people cease to mourn. 1063.
Saviour Jesus Christ. and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the ever-blessed Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.